Welcome to Carnivores Don't Get Sunburn, hosted by Carrie Mann. Dive into the extraordinary journey of rediscovering optimal health through the carnivore diet. Here, we share powerful transformations from reversing chronic illnesses to achieving peak human potential. Each episode, we'll explore the real stories of those who've turned their lives around, embracing a diet that's as natural as the sun. Stay tuned as we uncover the science, the success stories, and the secrets to thriving on this ancestral diet. Plus, don't miss our exciting documentary highlights featuring a diverse range of carnivore champions. Ready to challenge the conventional? Let's get started.
I'm no longer functionally fat, I'm now just fat. The right things. And number one thing of doing the right things is stop freaking poisoning yourself with all of the processed crap, which is actually just slow dose poison. You remember all those stories you hear of everybody going on Jenny Craig, Nutrisystem, and diet doctors and how they reverse their diabetes, hypertension, and depression? Yeah, I haven't heard those stories either. When we told everybody stay inside, sit on a couch, and order DoorDash, suddenly we accelerated 15 years of obesity in 2 years. It's not food, people. It's a physiologic state. It's our native state. And then we've seed oiled our stuff and Coca-Cola'd our stuff and cookied our stuff and ice creamed ourselves out of this natural physiologic state. Expand on this by one more minute.
100%, yeah.
So to me, it all comes down to one thing.
Quick interruption. Did you know we have an incredible membership site for you called healinghumanity.life? We have a special offer going on right now. Learn more at the link in the description. We have courses. We have expert Q&As with the good doctors. We even have a Healing Humanity Heroes Zoom call once a week, highlighting real heroes that will inspire you on a path to healing. The community is wonderful. We're going to be implementing a buddy system so you can be held accountable, recipes, all sorts of great stuff to help you on a path to healing. Learn more at the link in the description below.
Hello and welcome. Carrie here from Healing Humanity, the power of a proper human diet. And today I'm thankful, grateful, and blessed to welcome Brett to the channel. Welcome, Brett. How's it going?
Carrie, I'm doing great. I can't thank you enough for having me on. Thrilled to have a conversation with you.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to sharing your story, your inspiring story. I've heard a little bit of it. You were on Dave Mack's channel. Shout out Dave Mack. I love what he's doing. I think he just surpassed three times. I think he just finished his, like, he's over 800 carnivore interviews. So I'm always encouraging people. Got to shout out these amazing people that are getting the word out. And all of these stories, I think, are really what inspire people. That's why we're doing the documentary. I try to reach more people with these stories. So check out Dave Mack's channel. But Brett, I'm looking forward to hearing more of your story. Maybe we started out kind of like Dave Mack does. How did you find carnivore?
I love Dave's intro with that. It is awesome. Well, as I said there, and if you want to watch me become a blubbering idiot for a little while, go to that first episode with Dave, because something happened, which I'll explain in a very short fashion. I lost my composure when I was talking about it, but I kind of started off by saying, well, I found it through keto, and but I didn't find it on purpose, and I wasn't directly seeking it or anything. I have a journey which, I've spent 30 years in the health insurance industry, including 10, 12 years in the corporate wellness disease management world. And I've been in sales and marketing for, all of that time. And both for insurance companies and as an insurance broker and consultant, helping companies put their employee benefits programs together. So I kind of grew up in the health insurance world, even though I've got certifications and licenses in the property casualty world as well. But anyhow, I was one of those people who became overweight while working in the wellness and disease management world. And I had always cared. Well, I shouldn't say always. When I graduated, I was a college tennis player just down the road from you guys. I went to UW-Whitewater. And I was on the tennis team there. And the running joke was, you know, Brett has to run around in the shower just to get wet. Because when I was 6'2", I graduated high school at 140 pounds. And when I was 6'3", I graduated college, 167 pounds. And so there wasn't much to me. Over the next couple of years, started what people would call filling out and put on some weight. But it got more and more as I got into kind of my 40s and especially early 50s. And got to a point where I became 115 pounds more than I should be. And I went to a family sibling dinner for my sister's 60th birthday party end of October 2018. And I noticed my younger brother, who I hadn't seen in about 3-4 months, had lost like 30 pounds in that period of time. And it kind of freaked me out. So I just said, "What have you been doing?" And he's like, "Oh, I found this, you know, I've been doing this low carb keto thing." And I'm like, "Okay, I just spent 12 years in the corporate wellness disease management worlds. I also had a year in pharma, and I've been in health insurance all the rest of my professional career for the most part." And I'm like, "How have I never heard of these things? Must be something very fad or anything." Next day, I went down to Chicago to play in a platform tennis tournament, outdoor winter sport. And I, after years of being what I called functionally fat, I was no longer what you could call functionally fat. 3 years earlier, at 52 years old, my good friend and doubles partner in the tournament and college teammate and lifelong buddy, we finished fifth in the nation in the 55 and overs in the national platform tennis world. And 3 years later, I was even bigger, and the 4 meniscus surgeries and all the arthritis that was catching up with me with all that hit. And I was so emotionally deflated that I'm like, "Oh my God, my body's giving out. I'm no longer functionally fat. I'm now just fat." And so along with the arthritis and everything, I go, "I got to get this fixed, or I'm going to have to give up the 3 sports that I love." Cause I play tennis, pickleball, and platform tennis, all at kind of national level basis. Anyhow, so I come back from this and I start jumping in, and I'm like, "Do you have anything?" I asked my brother to give me. He didn't really have a lot. And so I go, "Well, I'll go figure it out." Because I was back in my corporate wellness days for those 10 years with the first company. I had to pass a coaching program, just like our RNs that were our coaches, who did the diet, nutrition, did the stress management, smoking cessation, and try to help people start basic fitness. I had to pass that same certification, but that's because I was selling those things, and I had to answer all the requests for proposals from, you know, we were selling to employers with 30, 40, 50, 80,000 employees. And there's hundreds of questions you have to answer in an RFP, request for proposal, before even submitting a quote. So I had to know it every day, every week, whereas the coaches needed to know it once to pass it, and then they got turned loose on the coaching clients. So anyhow, it was really deflating because I went through our coaching program, which is based on what most every dietitian and coaching programs were predicated on there, calorie counting, you know, walk another mile, eat another apple kind of a scenario. And I had failed with that a number of times. And so as I started looking into this, and I started seeing that things that didn't make sense to me were popping up, and things that scared me. I started hearing that you don't have to fear saturated fat. You don't have to fear LDL in context. There are places where you have to be aware of them, but for most part, as long as you are what you and I now realize we would call clean, they're nothing you need to worry about. But at first, when I heard this, I'm like, "Oh my God, my brother's going to be a skinny guy in a casket." And so I go, "Well, I'll save his life. I'll go into PubMed, where all the published medical research is, from my pharma days, from my selling very sophisticated predictive modeling algorithms built into our wellness programs that forecast somebody's ability to develop any of 40 different disease states. that's what I did. I talked to chief medical officers at healthcare systems and large consulting and brokerage houses across the country as my professional career, trying to tell them, here's why our tools are better. And here's the scientific basis. Here's how the scientific method works. Here's how evidence-based medicine works. And this was my world. And so I go, well, I'll go find the definitive research that says that my brother, that he's damaging himself by doing this keto thing. And with that, I wound up finding, you can see right here, this book by Dr. Sarah Hallberg. And I don't know if you're familiar with Sarah or not, but when I said I became a puddle on Dave's first podcast, she was a major part of my epiphany and my awakening. There were a number of people where if you go out to my website, I've got kind of healthcare heroes, people like Dr. Jeff Volek, Dr. Stephen Finney, Sarah, Chris Palmer, Georgia Eady over here on this side of me, and then Gary Taubes, Nina Teicholz, all these different people were inspirational in helping me in my awakening of what's going on here. But Dr. Sarah had a TED talk that I found early in my kind of 60 hours of October, November, December, deep dive of 2018 to try to show my brother how potentially dangerous what he's doing is. And she had a TED talk from 2015 or 14 that I found on YouTube where it says, to reverse diabetes, you have to ignore the guidelines. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I come out of the disease management world. I sold Freighter, the health and, or the healthcare company here, their disease management program. I sold Aurora, their corporate wellness program, and partnered with them to resell it under their name to dozens of local employers. So I'm just like, oh my gosh. So anyhow, so I'm like, how can you ignore the guidelines? And that's when my epiphany went off and I'm like, I wasted all these years in an industry that shouldn't even exist. I was in a disease management industry. We should only be talking about disease reversal. But that blows up the apple cart for everybody in the world and all the profit streams. And you can't ever blow up the big profit streams that feed the world. So that's why this gets demonized and everything. So I determined in that kind of 60-month deep dive of November, December 2018 that, okay, 1-1 is when everybody does their New Year's resolutions, and I'm going to do one on 1-1, and I'm going to go all in. And I realized early on that alcohol can sabotage your results when you understand what alcohol does to the body. And it shuts off fat oxidation. And if you're trying to lose all this body fat, it's counterproductive. Every time you drink, you stop burning fat. So I learned that very early on. And I told all my buddies at my tennis and paddle club and everything, where I'm like, okay, I'm just not going to drink in 2019 till I hit my goal. And long story short, I hit my goal. I dropped 115 pounds in 9 months and reversed a number of conditions, which let me just kind of show you. So we were first introduced through the concept of the metabolic revolution. And this happened in Washington, D.C. on October 13th. And we had, you know, a lot of these people, Georgia Eade, Chris Palmer, Nina Teicholz, Westman, all these great, Tony Hampton, who I know you do a lot with. We're all on the stage there. And then there were 14 of us that are not world leaders in this, but had powerful stories and our volunteers trying to launch the metabolic revolution. Well, I got up on stage and I showed, I'm just trying to make sure that you can see this here, so that it's reverse of how it works when I'm hosting on, I use StreamYard also. So metabolic therapy, I reversed heart disease, metabolic syndrome, arthritis, tinnitus, BPH, and more. And you can see the weight difference there.
Wow.
That's my story. Now, as far as finishing your question of how do I find carnivore, in the first month and a half, I started hearing a little bit about it as I was being exposed to what we would call the low carb community. But then as I was losing the weight, I'm going, oh my God, I look like I could be back in the corporate wellness industry. And I'm like, started calling around, and the people that I knew their eyes were glazing over. They were deer in the headlights when you start talking about low carb or keto. They had no understanding about what any of this meant. And I'm like, oh my God, because I'd been out of the industry from like 2014 to 2018. And I go, I'm ahead of the curve. I can come back. I can help save the world by bringing this to the industry. So I got another job back in the disease management and cost containment world on kidney disease. And the chief IT person in that company was a carnivore and was a big follower of Sean Baker. And that was like March of 2019. So I was about 60, 65 pounds into 70 pounds into my weight loss at this moment. And so I talked to him and I started following Sean and others and realized that there was Michaela Peterson and Jordan Peterson and all these others out there. But you and Dave Mack were still not in the picture yet, you know? So I started moving very quickly from what you would call 20 total carb medical strength ketosis into what I call, I don't call it, I'm sure I didn't coin this phrase, I just can't remember where I heard it first, that I just considered myself a nutrivore. So, I eat the most nutrially dense bioavailable food that the body can use. And that's how I kind of coined myself. But I realized that that means I have to be in the 85 to 90% kind of carnivore world to get the base nutrition that you need to get. So that's kind of my story on how I found it. I'll cut it off there and see if you want to go into other questions or there's other interesting anecdotes of that next year and a half of story that I'm happy to go into.
Yeah, no, man, incredible story. That's insane. Was there a turning point for you when you started eating this way where you're like, this is different than anything I've ever kind of done before?
That's an excellent question. First of all, with my background and everything, and once I kind of realized how upside down and backwards the healthcare world is, that was, that you could say ruined me for almost everything else in the world, because it's like, if we can't trust this, what can we trust? But as I applied this, I had mentioned to you that I went down and I just sucked in this tournament that I was playing in Chicago. And I had suffered for the previous, because I'd had 4 meniscus surgeries by trying to be functionally fat, trying to perform like somebody who's not carrying an extra 115 pounds on their frame. And I had great arthritis, and I had, for the first time in my life, for about 10 months before starting this, developed some tennis elbow. And so I was wearing a brace. And I always tend to, most years, kind of work with a promising junior who wants to go get a college tennis scholarship, win state, do things like this, because coaching tennis has always been something I've done since I was a kid. And so there's this one kid I was giving like 2 to 4 hours of lessons a week with, where we're drilling. And about within the first 2 weeks, I hit what we call fat adapted. And suddenly, once, because I had the week before, I had to walk off the court within 15 minutes. And I was somebody who for 4 years was loading 6 ibuprofen into my body to be able to move and loosen up. And 2 hours before, I walked on a court just to function at all. And on that night before, the week before being fat adapted hit, I had to walk off the lesson and say, I'm sorry, I can't sit here. I can't do 200 cross court forehands with you because my arm is just falling off. I come back the next week and I no longer need ibuprofen. I can play for hours. All the pain just immediately lifted. And this is within 2 weeks, in between the 14th, 16th, 17th of January. And I'm just like, this is what people are talking about on how their arthritis goes away, how their pain goes away. And so this led me into really needing to try to understand what's going on with this. But then within 2 months, where I said I went back and joined another disease management company, when I got that offer, I was just incredibly amped up. And I was pacing in my office, like this one here, where I worked out of, because I usually worked out of my home. And I did a lot of national-based travel. And but I was just like so amped up, because I'm like, oh my God, in like 5 more months, I'm going to be thin again. I'm going to go change the world. I'm going to break this idea and concept into healthcare and disease management and everything. And I started saying to myself, I'm going to be thin again in about 4 or 5 more months. And I'm about to say, I'm going to be bulletproof. That's when all of a sudden I realized I was being stupid. And I, you know, in my head, because I'm saying this all in my head, I go, oh my God, Brett, you're being a moron. Because I realized, I go, when I found Dr. Sarah Hallberg here with her to reverse diabetes, you have to ignore the guidelines. First of all, the reason I became a puddle, finished that first story, is she was so special and a part of my epiphany in helping me figure all of this out, that the next part of my story, where I actually wind up saving my life, which we haven't got to yet, but we're about to, that's where I was going into. I watched her, because her and where I was about to say, I thought I was bulletproof. So there's this guy who's a billionaire who sold a Zillow-like company to Zillow. And he goes and he wins around 2012-ish the Ironman competition in Hawaii for the 50 and over age category, which means he's fitter than probably 85 to 90% of all Division I college athletes out there, okay? He comes back from winning that, and instead of being where you're 6.5 on a hemoglobin A1C to be considered a type 2 diabetic, he was a 6.4. He was way into the pre-diabetes threshold, almost full type 2. And most people that understand this would say, yeah, he's totally already a type 2. And he's like, how can it be? I'm the fittest 50-year-old in the world. How could I be this sick? And he went to do his research, and he found Finney and Volek. And that's this book right here. There we go, the end one, the Art and Science of Nutritional Ketosis, or Art and Science of Low Carbohydrate Living. And it's really the Bible if you want to understand ketosis and what's going on. And then they found Dr. Sarah. And with that, they formed a company called Virta Health. And so they were doing studies, and she was doing a Indiana University-based study on reversing diabetes and obesity and all these things with ketosis. And so for the next 2 years, I followed every month or two, they'd have a new study that they'd come out and publish, and she would do a power, you know, a video recording on it. And so I watched like 40, 50 hours of her over the next 2 years. And I had reached out to her on LinkedIn, thanked her for helping me with my epiphany and everything. And we became connections on LinkedIn, but it didn't go farther than that. But mentally and emotionally, I had like adopted her as like my kid's sister, my niece or something like this, because you go watch her stuff, her videos, her passion and how she is about this. She's right up there with you, Carrie. And she's just she's a force of nature. Well, I learned in 2021 that she developed lung cancer, never a smoker in her life, worked out every day of her life. And in 2022, she passed. Now, when I was telling Dave, and he goes, how'd you find Carnivore? And I'm talking about how Sarah was my epiphany. I cried and lost it for an hour the day I heard she died. Just because of what she meant to me. And what an amazing person she was. But I had not talked or spoken about her yet. And you can see I'm still getting emotional here. Until Dave asked the question, I started telling the story. And all of a sudden, all of the emotion came back. But we're going to kill that right there. So beyond the billionaire that helped found Virta Health with her Finney and Volek, I also remember when I was in college at Whitewater, the number one selling book was The Complete Book of Running by Jim Fix. And my roommate was on the Whitewater cross country and track team. We came from the same high school. And he would carb load every day at the food service and everything and write it all in the manual to make sure he was had all the glycogen stored for tomorrow's runs and all of this. And I remember a couple of years out of college, Jim Fix dies at 52 years old of a heart attack on a 5K run looking like a Greek god. So where I was saying, Brett, you're a moron, because all of a sudden thinking just because I'm not on medication and just because I'm thin does not mean I'm healthy. I know better than this. And so I decided, well, 10 years earlier, near the beginning of my corporate wellness world, I had had a CT heart scan. And so when you saw on my little poster that I've reversed heart disease, at this moment, I didn't know I had it yet. But I decided, well, I can't say bulletproof. That's stupid of me. If I go get another CT heart scan and I have a zero calcium score, then I can start emotionally, mentally celebrating. And so 2 days later, I self-referred myself to Aurora. I got a CT heart scan for $50. And 2 days after that, they call me, Mr. Smith, you have a score of 268. And I'm like, not the zero I was hoping for. And for about 2 days, it was kind of a kick in the gut and it put me in a little bit of a funk. And then I came back to what I learned from Sarah. And that, you know, all of these things are reversible and healing humanity. The body heals if you do the right things. And number one thing of doing the right things is stop freaking poisoning yourself with all of the processed crap, which is actually just slow dose poison. And so that gave me a whole nother way of saying I need to deep dive into all of this. Because like I said, I went about 60 hours, November, December of 18. And that got me hooked on, God, look at everything that's screwed up. What more can I learn? And I kept going down the rabbit hole. And then with knowing I had the plaque, my mission was, how do I save my life? How do I not have a heart attack? So early in that first 60 hours, and also on my meta or on my face, excuse me, my website page, my healthcare heroes, Ivor Cummins is on there, and I'm sure you've probably come across Ivor and the fat. He's got a podcast called The Fat Emperor, and he's huge in the low carb metabolic health space. And at the time, he was president of the Irish Heart Awareness Foundation charity. And they came out with a documentary called Widowmaker to try to create awareness for CT heart scans. Find out, instead of tracking risk factors, find out if you have the disease. Go get the scan. And so I started following his podcast heavily and went back and binged the previous year and a half of everything I could get up to speed on heart disease. And I had sold in pharma two cardiovascular drugs back in, you know, but that was 20 years earlier. So then he has an episode like 3 weeks later with another guy from Wisconsin, from Wausau, Wisconsin. His name is Patrick, and Patrick looked just incredibly familiar to me. And Patrick's telling a story how back in like 2002, so like 18 years earlier, so his best friends from college all went on to be doctors. He went on to two PhDs, and they told him, come to Mayo Clinic and have an executive physical with us. And he winds up finding out they're about to release him after 2.5 days of prodding and every test you can do and taking all this blood. And he finds out that, or they're like, well, you've got a great bill of health. We're going to send you home. We're going to have lunch right after you shower up. They go, is there any other tests you'd like to have? And the CT heart scan wasn't that well known yet in 2002-ish. And he goes, do you have one of these? And they go, yeah. He goes, I've read about it. I'd love to have one. So as they're about to release him, and this is how screwed up healthcare is, and not only in 2002, but to this day for most people, they meet him coming out of the locker room and they take him into a conference room. They put up on the big screen TV, your scan. You've got a score. He was in the 800-900 area with his calcium score. I was only at 268. And they're like, you're going to die soon. And there's nothing we know what to do to fix it. Get divorced, go sell surf wax, move to the beach, enjoy your last couple of years. There's not a lot we can do for you. So that's what he said in this story. And as I'm looking at him, I go, and then he mentioned where he worked. He worked at Wausau Papers here in Wisconsin. Well, back in around 2006 or seven, I sold them their corporate wellness program, and he was on the committee selecting the vendor. And that's where I go, that's why I know him and why I recognized him. And he took his 900 score and zeroed it all out because wow. his company allowed him, because he was the head of kind of the whole science area and technical stuff at the company. And there's a lot of sciencey things going on with your breaking down trees into pulp and paper and make all these things. And he, so I'm like, oh my God, I got to search everywhere I can find everything about Patrick. And I did. And then I finally found where he exactly shows his exact protocol of what he ate. But he said very on with that first thing, be in ketosis. It's very important. But there are supplements and he believes, and I believe just right along with him, that you may need a supplement for a while because based on how shitty your diet was and how deficient you are in a number of different things, you might want to bring them up with the help of supplementation aid until you can test that you're normal with your stuff. And so I just immediately went into that, and that protocol by call it April, May, 2019. And then I'm working in the disease management industry. My boss and I go out to California because he goes, Brett, we've got the best broker and consultant relationships in California out of the sales force. So then he goes on our third day out there. He goes, OK, well, I've got an appointment at 10 o'clock. I've got, if you don't want to come, you can just take the car to a restaurant, work on your computer, do whatever you want to do. But it's a heart disease company. And he went and got his heart scan after I told him about mine, right after, because this was right when he hired me. And he went and got one 6 years younger. He had a score too. And at a conference the month before, he came across this company called the Pulse Cardiac Company. And actually this logo on this one is a little bit better of right here. You can see Pulse, P-U-L-S. And I go, are you kidding? This is a new heart test. Of course I want to come in. He goes, yeah, I knew you couldn't lay off or stay away from this thing. So I sit there for about 45 minutes listening to my boss get his pulse cardiac test results run. And the doctor turns to me and says, well, Brett, you've been sitting there very quiet. And do you have any questions? I go, I'm just trying to take this all in. So let me see if I've got this. You've got a blood test, a venipuncture blood draw, which you say you'll have in a finger prick, a Clustech version in the near future. And that blood test shows and can quantify the amount of soft plaque going on in your arteries. And you can even show whether the disease is progressing or it's regressing or it's healing. And he goes, yeah, that's a great elevator speech. You really nailed that. You've been paying attention. My next words out of my mouth is, do you have a phlebotomist here? He goes, do you want one of these? And my boss, Jim, he goes, yeah, Brett just found out he has a calcium score of 268. The doctor looks at me, his eyebrows go up, and I'm like, yeah, I'm aware I'm smack dab in intermediate risk, 100 to 400 is intermediate risk. And I go, but I found a protocol, and I think I'm going to be able to reverse all this. Again, his eyebrows go up like, you must be crazy. And which I, by this point in time, I knew that that's exactly what anybody in the medical world would react, how they'd react. So we do the test. 2 weeks later, we do a Zoom call to get my results. And he goes, well, you already knew that you had the hard plaque, the calcified plaque. You definitely have this disease, but you've got some really great news. And I wish we would have had a baseline on you 9 months ago, because this is now end of August. I had just lost the 115 pounds at this point in time. And he goes, God, I wish I would have seen what your score was before you did all this in January. He goes, but whatever you're doing, keep doing it, because you are big time in a healing phase. And he went into the algorithm and the score and the test and showed me why he's thought that. And I go, that's really cool. So I keep following Ivor, and this story will end in just another 1 minute. And in November, he has another cardiologist from Australia on. And Ivor's like, this guy's done more CT heart scans in Australia than anybody else in the world. And the guy starts talking. The doctor's like, yeah, but there's this great new pulse test out of America where you can find the soft plaque that you can't find on the CT heart scans. So you can find it in its earliest phase when it's easily reversible and all of these things. And I'm like, I'm at Planet Fitness working out, and I'm listening to this. And I'm going, that's a test I had. It was in November. That's a test I had 3 months ago. I go, that's really cool. So I start talking. I had, over the last 4 or 5 months, broken the brain. Well, in 2018, I broke my brain. And in 2019, I started breaking the brain of doctors that I know. And one of them is Dr. Ryan Cooley, who is a cardiologist, was here in Milwaukee for 20 years of practice. And in 2019 summer, he suffered a heart attack, and we were on the pickleball court together with his brother and another mutual friend. And his brother says, Brett, did you hear about Ryan's heart attack? And I'm like, Ryan's like sitting right here next to me, warming up on the court. And I just look at him and I go, I've only not seen you for 6 weeks. We were at the paddle club all winter together. Why don't I know about this? And how are you back on a court already in all of this? He goes, well, we found it early. I got 3 stents. And this is at a point where I'm way into Patrick's protocol for reversing my heart disease. And I'm hoping that he's going down the same rabbit holes that I'm going down, and he's going to validate some of what I found. And he goes, well, and I say, well, what are you going to do different now? He goes, well, you know, my brother Sean and I, were, you know, he's been vegetarian for a while. We're both going vegan. And I'm like, kind of goes in the opposite direction of the science and the stuff that I've found. And it's not that you can't do vegetarian and vegan in the state of nutritional ketosis. It just becomes much harder because there's this kind of hard cap of 50 carbs that you allows when you're under 50 carbs consistently, you get into and can stay in ketosis. And if you're eating such an amount of fruit and veg, it's going to be hard. It can be done. And Virta Health, Dr. Sarah has shown it through their results. You can do ketosis with it, but it's just very difficult. So it took me about 4 or 5 months of sharing a couple studies a week with him. And then he'd come back and say, well, what about TMAO? What about this? mTOR? What about that? And I go, here's the information on that. Here's the information on that. And eventually he goes to a lipidologist who he believed is a state leading lipidologist in the state, doesn't accept insurance, $500 an hour, did a 4-hour appointment with her. And they get to diet, nutrition, and exercise. He goes, well, I got that licked. I'm vegan. Been doing that for a few months now. I don't eat meat, fish, or eggs. Lipidologist, and this is crazy, cholesterol doctor, lipidologist, so far out ahead of her time, comes back and says, why are you ignoring the most bioavailable, nutrient-dense food that you can eat? He goes, but I eat all these heart-healthy grains. She goes, why are you doing that? That's what fucks up your cholesterol and raises the inflammation in your body. And he goes, you're starting to sound like my friend Brett. And she's like, well, who's Brett? Well, he's a tennis friend I've had my whole life. He's been in healthcare sales his whole life. And she goes, isn't it amazing how the salespeople can figure this stuff out, but all you cardiologists are so dumb as rocks about all of this shit. And so that hit him in the heart and in the brain, and finished breaking his brain. And so 2 months, he doesn't tell me this for 2 months, but 2 months later, we're at a charity event. And he goes, come on over here. He goes, I've been holding out on you. I go, what do you mean? He explained what I just told you about this lipidologist story that happened in August. And he goes, and I started following your protocol and Patrick's protocol. And within 6 weeks, I had another blood test. And it's the best chemistries, the best blood tests I've had since I'm 25 years old. Now, there's a lot more to his whole story, which we won't all get into. But he and I now have, beyond my podcast, the My Metabolic Life podcast, on YouTube and on my website, you can find us. It's called The Metabochondriacs. We had a whole nother name that is not as hard to understand as that one. But somebody grabbed it right before I was smart enough to grab it and make it official on YouTube. And so metabolism, mitochondria, and we're maniacs about all of this. And so today I will be publishing like our 6th or 7th episode there. And I've got 6 more episodes on My Metabolic Life, which will get me up to about 30 episodes there. Some of them are with coaches and doctors. Like I just had one of the other 14 people at the Metabolic Revolution who was there on stage as an expert, Dr. Matt Bernstein, psychiatrist out of Boston. And he, like Georgia Eady and Brett Shear, or not Brett Shear, Chris Palmer, brain energy and change your diet, change your mind. He's another one of these leading psychiatrists that are practicing metabolic therapy and reversing schizophrenia, bipolar, anxiety, depression. They're even doing almost kind of like halfway houses where people will go live with serious conditions for 3 years, and they all learn how to eat and prepare the right foods and live this lifestyle before being put back out on their own. So they're just completely encapsulated in all of this. And so I was just finishing up before we get on about to release his podcast. But just like with Dave and just like with what you're doing, my goal is to have 500 metabolic therapy healing stories on my podcast by August 1st of 2016 is kind of the goal that I have. And so at 3 o'clock today, you know, I have it easy. I've got you and Dave to follow, and you found so many great people already. I can, you know, that whether you found them or they reached out to you guys or whatever, I can just kind of, if they give their contact information, reach out. And so somebody who just released on No Carb Life this 4 days ago, Janice from Phoenix, she's going to record with me at 3 o'clock today. So when you say, what were my major epiphanies? I realized how big healthcare was screwed up. I realized I could reverse my heart disease. On a year over year, the next year, I had this test done again in August of 2020. And I had my co-host, Dr. Ryan Cooley, have his first one. And we were all on the same Zoom call together. And Dr. Harrington, the founder of this test, comes out and says, Brett, what have you been doing the last year? I go, well, I told you what I was doing a year ago, but it's a year. And I didn't know that he was going to remember all of this. He goes, you've reversed 85% of the plaque out of your arteries in this last year. And I go, well, remember I told you I found a protocol. I totally expected that this was going to happen. And he had never seen a healing progression improve that fast. At 56, when I had this first test done, it also gives you a calculated heart age for what the ages of a person with your amount of disease, at what age are they healthy? I had the heart of a healthy 83-year-old when I was 56 years old. Within 1 year, I got it down to a healthy 64-year-old. And then it kept going down, you know, because the goal is I want to be 65 and have the heart of a healthy 45-year-old, right? Mm-hmm. That's where we want to go with all of this. So after that year-over-year test, the next day, I'm talking to my buddy Ryan, Dr. Cooley, after coming off of a court again. And I'm just like, what'd you think of that test? He goes, we don't know anything about 90% of what this test is all about. This is just completely foreign to all of us cardiologists. I go, I think it's pretty freaking cool too. And so I called up the company, and within 48 hours, I was their Wisconsin-based sales force or sales rep calling on doctors to introduce this test. Unfortunately, our response to COVID over that next year wound up killing the company because doctors were still not seeing their own patients face-to-face much, let alone yet allow reps to come in and talk about a test that they have no clue about and don't understand at all. And the company wound up going under. So I've got quite a bit of background now in between the pharma and the cardiovascular company and just also the predictive modeling algorithms, understanding what we believe medical science says that this is all about, even though once you understand how the studies are designed and kind of things that were done before 2005 and changes in the law since then. But so much of our medical research is so corrupted that even the editors at the Lancet and the New England Journal of Medicine, 10-year editors are like, you can't believe 70% of what's printed in studies. It's that corrupt. So I'll leave it there and let you go into other areas or other things that you want to ask about.
No, your story is incredible. Your passion for this is awesome. I love your goal too of getting more of these stories out there. It's like when you find this healing for yourself, you just want other people to see it. Could you repeat that? The part that's blowing my mind right now is your heart disease reversal.
Yes.
I had congestive heart failure, reversed that on carnivore, and I was told it was chronic and that would never happen. Yes. I haven't had the heart scan. I interviewed Dr. Phil Blavatsky and he recommended that. But could you just briefly kind of recap? I'm thinking like in the beginning of the video, I want to tell people, what did you say? So it's 85% reversal?
So, yeah. Okay. So there are two kinds of plaque that form in our arteries that create what we call atherosclerosis. So there's atherosclerotic plaque. And there's nothing settled science in this world. A lot of people believe it's LDL that's the causal factor in this. And I don't believe that at all. And in fact, the Pulse Cardiac Company says there's 31 things that cause heart disease. LDL is 32, the first thing that's not, but it's associated because it's there on the scene of the crime. But it's so when you receive endothelial damage, so inside of all of our arteries, we have an endothelial layer, and that endothelial layer is covered with what I call glycocalyx. But you have to have a huge powered microscope to see them. But the way for people to understand this, you know how you pick up a fish and it can slip right out of your hand? Because they appear to be slimy. Well, they have glycocalyx on their scales and everything. We have them inside of our arteries, and that's what allows the blood to just flow. High blood pressure and oxidative stress from seed oils, oxidative stress from too much working out, hyperinsulinemia, super high insulin levels and high glucose levels, glycation, and Dr. Cooley and I just did a episode last week on advanced glycation end products, explaining the 85 different conditions and the 30 systems in our body that high glucose levels damage your tissues. And we call it retinopathy, neuropathy, everything else in the world. It's all because we have too high a sugar. So that all these things can strip off the glycocalyx and then damage the endothelial layer of your artery. And so you start laying down what's called soft plaque. And soft plaque is just like a scab forming when you cut your finger, and it's going to heal. And then it's going to eventually fall away if everything's working right in the body. And eventually, hopefully, you won't hardly even see the scar unless it's a super big cut. Well, inside of the arteries, that's supposed to work that way. And we learned this even in Vietnam War, because we had so many autopsies done on 18 to 22-year-olds. And we could see that so many of them had soft plaque in their arteries, even at that young age, because we were still Mountain Dewing and smoking and lots of different things going on back in the 60s. But if your body's not functioning properly, and I'll go as far as to say, if you're not spending enough time in nutritional ketosis, and if your blood pressure's out of whack and your glucose is high and you don't have the right micronutrients coming to the body, if you don't have enough vitamin K happening, K2, MK4, MK7, you're going to have issues and you're not going to heal properly. And that scab is not going to heal and fall away and go back and get broken down. It's going to become now what we call calcified plaque, which is the plaque you can see on a CT heart scan. So if you get a CT heart scan, you see what your advanced calcified plaque is, but you can't see the soft plaque. There's not enough cohesion, I guess you would say, in the plaque that it's visible, because you almost have to be bone-like to be seen on an x-ray or a scan. So anyhow, with this, the pulse cardiac test reads what goes into making up that soft plaque before it calcifies. And there's like 260 different chemical and enzymic reactions going on inside of these plaques. And this, so the pulse cardiac test was able to, there are some things that are going like this if the disease is progressing, and there's other things that are going like this if you're in healing. And so that's how it's able to measure that. But I reversed 85% of the soft plaque based on these 16 metrics out of those 265 measurements that go into the ones that show what's happening with your plaque. that came out of the trials, and the NIH, actually, again, another Wisconsin connection. Oh, what's the healthcare system up in Stevens Point, Wausau area? I'm blanking on it, but they were part of the phase three trials of all of this stuff, making sure that the NIH gave it its blessing and said, yes, this is incredibly awesome stuff. So heart disease and heart plaque can be reversed. You don't have to reverse all of the calcified plaque, but if you're eating what we'll call a proper human diet, people can go check one of my episodes, one of my early ones. There's a nurse from Illinois, and if you haven't had her, you'll want to interview her. She's not only brilliant, but she reversed. She dropped 150 pounds 20 plus years ago on keto, went down a bad path for a little while when what we'll call industrialized keto came out, the processed food version of keto, and kind of put a little back on, and then developed some plaque of her own in her arteries that she found. And she had a score where mine was 268, hers was like 386-ish around there. She re-upped her keto and went full lion diet, full carnivore, red meat, salt, and water. And in under 3 years, reversed out all of the calcified plaque. Had another CT heart scan, and they're calling her up saying, we think we have some wrong information for you. What's your real birthday? Because they've never seen somebody reverse all that Now, it's been done by others. Laura Russell is her podcast. I'm happy to send you a joint email for the two of you because you guys need to hook up. So you can reverse the calcified plaque. The soft plaque reverses pretty darn quick because in that first year over year, I got rid of 85% of it. But just one quick side anecdote let me throw in here because this is so relevant to the whole male population. If you're a male and you think you're having problems in bed, intimacy issues, think you're a candidate for Viagra or Cialis or anything like this, most likely you have atherosclerotic plaque going on in your body, and it's that same plaque happening down in your male areas that are not allowing, and it's because you've got a screwed up metabolism, because much of that vastly improves and vascularly improves because it's a vascular issue just like the atherosclerosis is. So there are so many things. I mean, everything in the body heals when you do this. You saw my tinnitus back in my early 50s. I started getting the ringing in the ears. I got older brother that it's just driving him nuts. I was having BPH issues, get up once or twice a night, go to the bathroom. That all reversed. And all of these things can heal if you allow the body to heal and you stop poisoning yourself and you say you are a priority to yourself. Treat yourself the same way you want your kids treated, right? Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you feel like you got a second chance at life with this?
That's why I broke down with that when I started talking about Sarah. My brother made me aware of this, couldn't explain it to me, but I figured it out. And now I have to pay it forward. Because had I not figured that out, and had I, let's say, lost 60 pounds and then re-put it on again, you know how many times I dropped 40 pounds and put them back on again?
I'm with you on that one.
Oh, everybody in the world. In fact, I just added on my website a first two paragraphs on my page saying, you remember all those stories you hear of everybody going on Jenny Craig, Nutrisystem, and Diet Doctors and how they reverse their diabetes, hypertension, and depression? Yeah, I haven't heard those stories either. But, and then like Carol, who was just on I just released her podcast 2 days ago, and she was on with Dave too from Phoenix, and you should have her on. She did all those things and did a serious working out and kind of low calorie diet, dropped 80 of 100 plus pounds she needed to. But then she found this in 2018. And with carnivore, she dropped the last 20 and has never just like myself, you don't have to go keep going up and down unless you start playing mind games with yourself and you start saying, because, and I did this a little with myself over the last year, my mea culpa here, because damn it, Carrie, I'm a human. And sometimes we do stupid and silly things even when we know better. When I first lost all the weight, I have more mass on me now from that after picture because I got into lifting weights for 5 years and I put on about 25 pounds of muscle. So I dropped 115 and then I've added about 25. It's not 25 I'm looking to get rid of. I was always, like I said, too skinny and I wanted to have more of a glucose sink, more muscle cells to pull glucose out of the bloodstream. That was at least the thought back in 2019. And so I start messing around with my brain a little and I go, I wonder after putting on these 25 pounds of muscle, can I handle the occasional bad thing? And so I tried the occasional bad thing. Guess what? I'm a little bit of a sugar addict. And a little bit of a bad thing can turn into a 2 or 3 time a week bad thing. And you do that for 6, 7 months, suddenly you can put 20 pounds back on. And it's really kind of funny when you, if you, anybody goes and looks up my 3 appearances on Dave's No Carb Life, because the first one was July 12th, last one was near the end of August. And you could just see on those 3 things. And even now I've redropped all that weight again. And with, even though I was 85, 90% carnivore, I'd have some handful of berries a couple times a week. I make soups, my own bone broth soups, and I have 3 different meats in it, but I'll put a little onion and a little carrot and a little asparagus or broccoli in it. But I don't much veg all that much anymore. And but with so many of my clients finding me from the carnivore channels, I said, well, because I admitted to Dave, I go, well, Dave, I've never been 100% pure carnivore for any 3-month period of time. So, but I knew that I had a little backslide last year. So I go, so I decided to do it. And since August 1st, I even cut out coffee. And and I wound up finding I don't miss the coffee because I'm a hyper caffeine metabolizer. I can drink coffee till I want to go to sleep and still fall asleep in 2 minutes. So that was not an issue. I don't need it for that, but I enjoy coffee. I like it. But I have been just meat, fish, and eggs. Even cut out the sauerkraut, which is part of the heart protocol because it's very rich in the K vitamins and it's fermented, and fermented foods are healthy for the gut and all. But I'm on my, I take a K supplement just in case from Patrick that he actually formulated. But so yeah, since from then to now, I did just eat a fish fry right before we started recording. And I had 4 olives on my plate. That was the extent of not being carnivore for the last 3 days, the 4 olives. So for the last 90 plus days, I've been pedal to the metal with it, you could say. And a number of things are better. I don't know if it was the couple treats a week I was allowing, that things that were bothering me are now gone again. But they came back when I let the poison back in. Mm. And so, you know, people use me as a lesson for yourself. Don't talk yourself into things. Don't let yourself come back to things that you know are not good for you. Now, yes, if I'm still moving forward with all of this, if I'm going to a party or whatever, might I have a little bit of vegetable on my plate? I do what I call blend. If I'm in social situations, because 99% of my meals I make myself, I eat here alone. It's not an issue. I don't like going out to eat because I understand all of the problems with what happens in restaurants. But you know, if I'm going to my daughter's birthday party, am I going to have a small couple bites of her cake? Sure. But that's a couple time a year thing, you know? Anyhow. So yes, I have a whole new lease on life, and my whole thing is to pay it forward and bring about the change that you're trying to bring about here with Healing Humanity. What an incredibly cool project. How long until you're planning on having that out or done?
We are aiming for middle of next year. The tricky part is we're following a couple individuals for 1 year, like Bill in Alaska. He recently hit 1 year, but we've got a couple individuals that haven't hit a year yet. So that's what's making it take a little bit longer. But we've filmed 34 interviews so far for the documentary. We have more than we need for the documentary. We're just waiting for a couple people to hit that 1 year. And then we're going to be doing a series afterwards.
Awesome.
There's too many stories to put just in the documentary. So we're going to have a series with a whole episode on aging, a whole episode on type 2 diabetes. That was going to be my next question for you. Documentaries healing humanity. I think I know the answer, but I'd love to get your answer on it. Does humanity need healing? Do you see the world differently now that you look around and you've become healthier?
Well, absolutely. Anybody who walks outside of their home and or turns on a TV realizes we don't look like the human population. If an alien showed up here in the 60s and came back today, they wouldn't even recognize humanity right now. What's really changed in me is now with the fundamental understanding of how the body heals. And again, stop poisoning yourself and virtually everything, the floaters in your eyes, they just go away. Your glaucoma just heals. It might not heal in 2 months. Some things take longer than others, but everybody's capable of healing. When we start seeing the whole mental health, all of this, what I realized, you know, 3 years ago, when I was jumping on with Pulse Cardiac, and I started writing a guide about my experience and all that I share with my clients and everything. And it's going to be a book, but I thought the book was going to be about ketones and ketosis. And now over the last 3 years, it's morphed. And the first couple blogs on my website are there, but there's going to be about 60 before the end of the year. And that's going to become a book about metabolic therapy, because every organ system, everything in the body heals. Now I can't say we're going to reverse and cure every single thing, but 80% of what we go see the doctor for is just metabolic dysfunction. You know, and cancer went from 5% of the population to 1 in 2 in a lifetime in my life. Okay. Our human bodies haven't changed that much. The terrain that we live in, the environment that we live in, the Wi-Fi, the blue light coming out of the screens, not being connected to the earth, grounding. I've spent like 2,000 hours in the last 2 years just on adding on to metabolic health and understanding where it plays with circadian biology and quantum biology, and how non-native EMF is so negative for the body. So yes, you know, some people can get this all done for most of what they've got going on with diet. But there are people where that may be only 60% of the puzzle, and they're not waking up to go to the bathroom. They're just waking up through the night for various different reasons. Their hormones aren't functioning properly. They're not releasing melatonin at the right time of the night, around 12:30 at night. So there's so much that people can do to heal. And that's why I didn't actually launch my coaching business full time until this year, because once I realized that with technology, with improper sun exposure and ground exposure, many things create insulin resistance in the body. It's just not a highly processed food diet that does it. And you could be eating perfectly and still be insulin resistant at, you know, like you can't believe, if you're doing everything else wrong. So there's so many balls that people have up in the air. But it's great that we've got more than just one thing to go and attack. And sometimes with a coaching client, usually if they're finding me, they're ready to tackle diet. But some people are very attached to their food, and it's comfort food or it's stress management food. It kind of becomes a drug for them. So if you can also help them start off by sleeping better right off of the get-go, that is a great place to start a healing journey or incorporate with the food. But yes, the body heals, and we're about to, with RFK Jr. coming in and about to become our health czar, we're going to see some radical, the same way that COVID like accelerated the disease in the world by 20 years, because all I did for my whole corporate wellness world is I go make show presentations from CDC slides showing how all the states change colors based on obesity levels and diabetes levels and all of these different things. Well, when we told everybody stay inside, sit on a couch and order DoorDash, suddenly we accelerated 15 years of obesity in 2 years with our pandemic response. On top of the fact that every guideline was wrong, but just like every food guideline has been wrong for the last 30 years. And I'm sure you've had people go deep dive into all of that with you. And the blue zones are fiction in many ways. So, I mean, everywhere you turn, there are narratives, but there's always big money behind the reason why narratives exist. And
My big realization has been just do what's natural, do what humans have naturally been doing. It's amazing what'll heal. Like you said, get the hell out of the way, stop poisoning yourself. But sometimes I think individuals, we get lost in all of the terminology and the science and everything, but really simply, it's just like we've just escaped from what humans have naturally been doing so long, mainly through our food, but everything else, like you said, not getting exercise, fresh air. Now you got microplastics and forever chemicals. You got all this other garbage too. So it can be like, why even bother? But there's so much you could do just by changing your diet. Man, this has been great. I wish we could. We got to do another call together. I can't believe we've been talking for an hour. I've got one more question. It's not really a question, but something that came up from, it's more of a kind of fill in the blank, if you're willing to.
Absolutely.
Traditional medicine is ... If you could just repeat that or give me your thoughts on traditional medicine or traditional healthcare is.
Lost in the woods. And it's not because the doctors want to be lost in the woods. You and your documentary, I know who you've been talking to. The Hamptons, the Berries, you know, the Westmans of the world, the Edies, the Palmers. There are brilliant people that want to be doing good. Can I give you a 1 minute expand on this by one more minute?
100%, yeah.
So to me, it all comes down to one thing. Everything that I've just touched on and that you've learned over the last 2 years is all in the medical literature. It wasn't like ketosis was invented in 2018. And when you understand who funds the medical schools, and when you go back to when the term allopathic medicine was created around 1910, 1913, a number of bad things in the world happened in those 3 years that have all made force in all of this. But healthcare became designed for profit at that point in time. And we went from 200 med schools to 20 med schools in 1913, based on the same way that we developed our Federal Reserve and central banking in that same period of time, where I said a number of things all happened. But where I'm going with this is that doctors are only taught one side of the equation. They are taught that there's this very dangerous thing, and you and I will both admit, diabetic ketoacidosis is a life-threatening problem. It's not created by low carb. It's created by having a non-functioning pancreas and no beta cells creating insulin. And if you're not diagnosed and you're not doing all of this, you're at a great chance of dying. That has been the sledgehammer that has been used to put the word keto and ketosis as a fear of God in every dietitian, nurse, and MD in the world. On the other side of the thing, what we've known for decades and decades and hundreds of years, every baby is born in the state of nutritional ketosis, spends the whole time in the mother's womb in nutritional ketosis, and while receiving 60 to 70% saturated fat in the mother's breast milk remains in nutritional ketosis. And until about 1910, 2030, the bulk of humanity spent all of their existence, 90% of the time, in the physiologic state of nutritional ketosis. It's not food, people. It's a physiologic state. It's our native state. And then we've seed oiled our stuff and Coca-Cola'd our stuff and cookied our stuff and ice creamed ourselves out of this natural physiologic state. But doctors aren't even taught in med school that there's a sugar burning state and a nutritional ketosis state or a fat adapted state. These are not things they're taught, because when you teach somebody and you let them know that the condition, we'll use you as an example, Carrie, had your doctor told you, well, Carrie, this depression and heart conditions you have is because you're insulin resistant, what's your first question going to be? Doctor, how did I become insulin resistant? Well, you know, you became insulin resistant because you ate too much crap for too many years. You mean if I stop eating the crap, the insulin resistance goes away? Well, reverse these conditions. Well, we just put healthcare and pharma out of business with that little one doctor conversation. So that's why it's got to be a ground floor up. You and I and everybody else, Dave, we've got to make the world aware of what's going on, because if we don't, your kids, my grandkids, they're going to be in a world of hurt. Just look what's happened over the last 50 years. We've destroyed humanity. We're trying to bring it back again. So yes, healthcare's out in the woods. Many doctors are waking up to it. You've got a number of great doctors in your documentary that everybody needs to see this and watch this. And I'm trying to break more doctors' brains like I did with Dr. Cooley and others. And we're going to get there, because everybody wants them, their family, and the rest of the world around them to be healthy. Unfortunately, the doctors are just tied with $500,000 of debt and stuck in a system that doesn't allow them to learn it and understand it, and tries not to let them practice it from that standpoint, because that's what the standards of care are all about. And for every disease out there, here's what you have to do to not get sued. And that's all by design also. Once you start seeing it, you can't unsee it. I'm sorry, I went really long on your fill in the blank.
No, that was awesome. Your story is really inspiring, Brett. I really appreciate it. Where can people learn more about what you're doing?
Well, a very quick, easy way to find me, just on my name here on the screen, mymetaboliclife.com. So https://, no WWs in there, just the HTTP. And you'll come to my website. You can find my podcast, but you can also just type My Metabolic Life into YouTube. You can type The Metabochondriacs into YouTube. But on my, like, shortly, as soon as you put this out, I have all of my podcasts and where I've been guests on the podcast page on the website. So you can find anything to do with me and anywhere I've spoken about anything on my website. But I'm also just brett@mymetaboliclife.com is my email address. And on the website, there's a contact me, which sends an email directly to me on the homepage. And you can find my Metabolic Life Facebook page, My Metabolic Life X account, and trying to build out the rest of it as well. But it's a lot to keep on top of.
Not for a carnivore though, right?
We don't have to sleep, so we've got that going for us.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this has been awesome, Brett. Thank you so much. I will have links to everything Brett just mentioned in the description below as well. I encourage everyone to go follow Brett. And open invite, my friend. We got to do another one of these. I looked up and it was like an hour already. I'm like, I could talk to you for a couple more hours. Your story's really...
As soon as you want to. Thrilled to come back. Because, yeah, we've only scratched the surface of cool parts of the story, but everything else as far as the context of what's going on in the world.
Yeah, let's do it for sure. Thank you so much, Brett. Really appreciate it. Have a good day.